Live from the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, you're listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because life and truth matter. The mission of the Christian Research Institute is to equip believers to answer life's essential questions soundly and persuasively, and to give the reason for the hope that you have with gentleness and respect. To join us on air with your question, dial 888-ASK-HANK, which translates to 888-275-4265. For more information, go online to equip.org. And now, here's Bible Answer Man host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Again, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. Our contact information on the web, equip.org. Via the mail, it's Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And our resource consultant is always standing by, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. As I've written in my book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion, the Muslim cult, 1,600,000,000 strong and growing, is unfortunately poised to fill a vacuum left by Western culture slouching inexorably towards Gomorrah. Demographics alone are, well, they are more than alarming. Polygamous Muslims boast a robust birth rate. At the same time, native Westerners are moving rapidly towards self-extinction. And filling the void? Well, multiple millions and millions of Muslims who have little or no intention of assimilating into Western culture. Of course, equally grave is the specter of global Islamic jihadism, now exacting mass genocide on Christians in the East and ever-multiplying terrorist attacks throughout the West. We've witnessed the co-belligerency of fantastically wealthy Saudis spending billions of dollars exporting virulent Wahhabism to the West. And worse yet, Western governments, academic institutions, media outlets bent on exporting a false narrative respecting the religious animus animating global Islamic jihadism. Quite frankly, it's time to end the persecution of Christians by militant Islam. One letter symbolizes Christian genocide. It now also signals hope. Text END IT. All caps, E-N-D-I-T. Text END IT. Again, all caps, E-N-D-I-T. Text it to 41444 to see how. Again, text it to 41444 to see how. The only real solution to a disintegrating West and a resurgent Islam is what the prophetic pen of Os Guinness has wisely designated Renaissance. It is the power of the gospel, no matter how dark the times. And what that means is that the church has to be energized for its mission, and that by a power that is in it but not of it. And as underscored by the Apostle Paul, the reality is that those who are made perfect in Christ do not labor in their own energy. Rather, they labor with all Christ's energy, which so powerfully works in us. One of my favorite verses in all the Scripture, Colossians 1, verse 29. Read it, memorize it, become intimately acquainted with it, because this is the energy that alone can empower the church to do what the first century Christians did, turn a world upside down. I want to spend a few moments with a friend of mine, Nathan Jacobs. He's a filmmaker, he's a writer, he's a director, he's an artist, he's a professor, and he has produced an absolutely incredible documentary It's titled Becoming Truly Human. And it actually looks at the rise of the nuns, not N-U-N-S, but N-O-N-E-S. The rise of the nuns are those with no religion affiliation. Nathan, it's good to have you on the broadcast.
Thanks so much for having me here, Hank. It's good to hear your voice.
You know, this is an absolutely stunning film. I still remember the first time I watched it with my wife and my youngest son, 13 years old. We laid on a bed and we watched this film and we were mesmerized for the entirety of it. Not only does this film give you a good sense of what nuns are thinking, and they now make up somewhere around 25% of the populace, but it gives your trek from nunism, as it were, to Christian Orthodoxy.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I was thrilled the first time you shared with me your response to the film, because obviously it's a labor of love for me, and it's a very vulnerable film precisely because it's not just a documentary about the nuns, as you pointed out, but I actually, with some fear and trembling, offer up my own story as someone who is a former nun. I do that for very specific reasons, because I hope that my story is helpful to both folks who are nuns and are on that journey, and folks who are trying to better understand the nuns. But for that reason, it's also a very vulnerable film for me to put myself and my family and my story out there. Something I never intended to do is to ever be on the front end of the camera. I always intended to be behind it. So anyway, my hope is that that it can be of help to folks, both those outside of religion as well as those inside, who perhaps don't have a clear sense of what's going on with these folks who are wandering away from religion.
At the time that you had no religious affiliation, you didn't seem particularly impressed with atheism. There were other things that caught your attention.
Yeah, that's right. I really never was terribly sympathetic to atheism. That's right. And actually, I think that's pretty common with the nuns. We screened a tremendous number of possible candidates for the film. And I would say probably around 95% of the folks that we screened would not have identified as atheists. They identified as agnostic or believe in some kind of higher power or something like that. And certainly for myself, I was not sympathetic to atheism. There were any number of reasons for that. Part of that had to do with certain arguments, such as the argument from contingency. I always thought as somehow necessary that because the things in our cosmos, ourselves included, are contingent, right? Our existence is dependent on something else prior to or underneath us, that ultimately underneath all of the contingent things, there needs to be something that is not contingent, something that's necessary, something that's immutable, that doesn't come into being. And even when I would hear folks who profess to be sort of scientifically minded atheists, from what I could tell, they didn't really disagree with that. They just preferred to call that energy or something like that. But it seemed that no matter what direction I moved, whether it was a pantheist or a scientific atheist or a theist, they all couldn't get past that idea that there's something underneath the cosmos that's sufficient to produce it. And so because that continued to come to the fore in my mind, that was something that I never really abandoned, nor was willing to abandon. Now, the question for me is, what is that God like, right? I never abandoned calling that something underneath the cosmos God. And I toyed with all sorts of very, very non-Christian ideas, suffice to say. It was definitely, I was someone who followed after the God of the philosophers for many, many years, but was never somebody who would have self-identified as an atheist. And like I said, that is very much the case for the majority of the nuns. And I think that's one of the things that's often misunderstood. I think sometimes folks look at the statistics, they see the data, they see, well, 25% of the U.S. population is now no longer affiliated with any religion. And they think, aha, the atheists are winning. People are abandoning God. But that's not really quite what's going on with the nuns.
You were tormented. I'm going to leave that hanging, by the way, because if you want to find out what's really going on, you have to see this film. Again, it is titled Becoming Truly Human. And you can watch the film in select theaters on November 9, 2017. How do people find out where the theaters are that are going to be showing the film?
Sure. Where they can go is they can go to TUGG, that's TUGG.com, TUGG. And there's a films tab. And under the films tab, they look through the various posters. You'll see the Becoming Truly Human poster. You click on that, and that will take you to a list of the cities in which it's showing. And that's where you can click to purchase tickets. The showings in the select theaters are conditional on there being a sufficient number of ticket pre-sales. So any charges for tickets are pending until the event is confirmed. So if you're interested in seeing it, you'll definitely want to go there and get your tickets in the next few days in order to make sure that those events actually happen. And this is really, Hank, I'm sure you could speak to this, but this is really the sort of film that tends to provoke a tremendous amount of conversation. So for folks who, if you really want to have a conversation with somebody about religion, that could be folks who are fellow Christians who you want to have a conversation about the nuns and this trajectory, what's going on in our culture. It could be a nun. We've seen many of the religiously unaffiliated folks who have seen it have been really moved and impacted by it. This is the sort of film that it's great to invite friends, family, church groups to. So I really hope that folks take advantage of this opportunity and go to TUGG.com, look under the films, find Becoming Truly Human, find a city near you, and reserve your tickets today.
It's one of the most incredible films because on the one hand, you use the Socratic method. You're asking lots of questions. And these are questions in the minds of so many people today, but then woven through the entire film is your own trek from being someone who had no church affiliation to someone who has become deeply spiritual, someone who studied the early church fathers, found commonality with Athanasius, and it changed, it revolutionized your whole life and the life of your beautiful wife, Heather, the lives of your children. It's an incredible story.
Thanks. So the film is very carefully woven in terms of the journey. It is crafted very intentionally. So even though it's a documentary, it is crafted in a very intentional manner. It's almost a misnomer to call it a documentary, not because everything there is authentic. There's a real interviews. This is all documentation, right? Of actual interviews. Everything in there is true. So in that sense, it fits the documentary motif. But it's really, in many ways, so carefully crafted in terms of its production design and its structure that it sort of becomes this narrative feature documentary hybrid. And part of that structure, as you mentioned, Hank, is that the film has a chiastic structure, right? So in classical literature, it was common that you would have these structures where there is some sort of descent, right, in the narrative, and then you hit a hinge point where then the very structure that you just went through is reversed. You go backwards as there's some sort of ascent. And the film is crafted in just that sort of way. So that what you see is you see a movement from my own childhood and religious affiliation just because of my parents, right? How my parents, my mother in particular, was German Lutheran. And so you hear about that upbringing, which is something that all of the nuns share in common, maybe not German Lutheran, but some sort of religious upbringing. And then you see my descent movement away from religion, various crises regarding questions about life after death, about the nature of God, about the problem of evil, why evil occurs in our cosmos, if there is in fact a God, and even our study about philosophy. But I see we're coming up against a break here, Hank, so maybe I can pause there. And
yeah, let's just have a short pause. We are going up to a hard break. If you want to get information on the film, you can go to equip.org and check it out. Also, Nathan's going to be on the Hank Unplugged podcast next week. We'll talk more about the film and about Nathan's conversion. I'll be back with Nathan in just a moment, and then we'll go right to your questions.
Grave is the specter of global Islamic jihadism now exacting mass genocide on Christians in the East and ever-multiplying terrorist attacks throughout the West. Worse still, Western governments, academic institutions, and media outlets seem bent on exporting a false narrative respecting the religious animus animating global Islamic jihadism. In Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion, Hank Hanegraaff not only outlines the problems in accessible and memorable fashion, but moves toward potential solutions in the clash of civilizations. Receive your copy of Muslim as our appreciation for your financial partnership. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back with more answers from the Bible Answer Man. Are you the product of millions of years of unguided, purposeless, natural processes? Or are you created in the image of a loving God? Faced with the overwhelming scorn of evolutionary proselytizers, it can be hard to articulate the truth about God's creative work. And even among faithful Christians, many misconceptions linger. The Creation Answer Book by Hank Hanegraaff puts answers to the most hotly debated origins questions right at your fingertips, giving you clarity and understanding. Learn to articulate the truth about our origins clearly and compassionately when you request your copy of the Creation Answer Book, or listen to Hank's insightful answers with the unabridged audiobook version on CD. Receive your copy of the Creation Answer Book or the audiobook on CD from the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. So rapid and pandemic has been the decline of biblical literacy and spiritual discernment that our once unimaginable post-truth culture is effectively becoming an anti-truth culture. While the sun is setting on the Western Church, Islam is now the fastest growing religion in the world. This means that it's not simply enough to be aware of this threat. Christians need to wake up, stand up, and speak up. This means being able to counter the outright lies about Islam that otherwise will go unchecked with horrendous consequences. And that's what Hank Hanegraaff's book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion, will enable you to do. To receive your copy as our appreciation for your financial partnership, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. The result has been rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. In the Apocalypse Code, find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Hank Hanegraaff argues that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or recent history. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to some very controversial questions, such as, what does it mean to take the book of Revelation literally? Who are the Antichrist and the Great Whore of Babylon? And what is the real meaning of 666? Order The Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff today. Available in softcover, MP3 CD, or MP3 download from equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI.
Thank you.
With 1,600,000,000 strong and growing, Islam is poised to fill a vacuum left by a Western culture slouching inexorably towards Gomorrah. Demographics alone are alarming. While polygamist Muslims boast a robust birth rate, native Westerners are moving rapidly towards self-extinction. Filling the void are multiplied millions of Muslims who have no intention of assimilating into Western culture. But there is one real solution to a disintegrating West and resurgent Islam. It is the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Read Hank Hanegraaff's new book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. To receive your copy as our thanks for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. And now let's rejoin your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And a reminder that those who join CRI's monthly support team, be pleased to personalize a copy of my book, Muslim, to you, a family member, or a friend. You can check this out on the web at equip.org. Also available for those who support the ministry, The Last Christians by Andreas Knopp, Stories of Persecution, Flight, and Resilience in the Middle East. An absolute page-turner. If you don't have it, get it. Again, it is available for those who support the ministry. Check it out on the web, or simply write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And to remember, Resource Consultants is always standing by, 888-7000, and the letters CRI. I want to continue my discussion for a few moments with Dr. Nathan Jacobs. He's a filmmaker, a writer, an artist, a professor, and more to the point, he is the writer and the director and participant in a documentary titled Becoming Truly Human. It looks at the rise of the nuns, those who have no religious affiliation, and but it also gives you a sense of a man who comes to faith through looking at the evidences for the historic Christian faith. Nothing in modern Christianity appealed to him. But then he began reading deeply, drinking, as it were, at the fount of those great early Christians like Athanasius. Remember that famous moniker, Athanasius Contra Mundum, Athanasius against the world, here I stand, as it were. Athanasius was going to stand against Arius. And he took a stand that has made a transcendent difference for you as a Christian, although you may not even know about it. Again, the film is enticing, it is compelling, and I think it's transformational. Again, titled Becoming Truly Human. If you want to find out how you can see it at a theater near you, check this out on the web at equip.org. You were always troubled, Nathan, by the problem of evil, and this is something that you tackle in the film. The resolution to this problem was a resolution that led you on your journey, and certainly has an impact in terms of leading those who have no religious affiliation to the incarnation of Christ.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you mentioned Athanasius, and as I mentioned in the film, Athanasius was the one who was so transformative for me on that very topic. Because I'd seen it as something that was a tremendously important question. Now, I never saw it as something that really threatened to undermine my belief in God, because I recognized that seeing in the world moral properties of good and evil, all these transcendent properties of the world, I didn't think there was any way to abandon God. In many ways, if you abandon God, you abandon the very basis on which you build the problem of evil. Evil, the problem of evil requires God in order to really call evil, evil. And so I knew that the problem was more of a conundrum. There is a reality of evil, there is a reality to our world that indicates that it originates with God. So how do we bring these two things together in a coherent way? And I had toyed with all sorts of philosophical issues, as I say in the film. I was really devoted to the God of the philosophers and had created my own sort of syncretistic philosophical religion. But when I encountered Athanasius, it was actually his disputes with Arius. I don't quote quite into this level of detail in the film, but it was his disputes with Arius that started to open my eyes to see the depth to which the early church fathers had dealt with this issue. One of the things that comes through in the Arian dispute is Arius had, his great heresy was to suggest that the Son of God was not in fact divine, not in fact a true Son of God, but a creature who had been dubbed a son. And what Athanasius, of course, says in objection to this is he says, Arius, if that's correct, if the Son is created, then he came into being. He's contingent, just like the rest of us. He's mutable, just like the rest of us. He's corruptible, just like the rest of us. He's susceptible to death, just like the rest of us. And what became clear to me in the midst of that discussion was realizing that what Athanasius was saying was that there are certain things about creatures that just that we as creatures simply by virtue of being creatures are mutable, contingent, corruptible, and not even God can really make it otherwise. You know, God cannot create a second God. And that's why all of us find ourselves in this condition where we are susceptible to death and dying. Even apart from Adam and Eve bringing death upon us, we're susceptible to the possibility of death and dying because of our mutability, our creatureliness. And what I came to see as I read Athanasius was that the way he reframed the incarnation and the whole of what the Christian faith offers to us is that in the incarnation, the Son of God places back into our dying species the immortal life of God, that that's truly what the incarnation is. And it provides to a dying species ourselves the possibility of participating in the life of God, putting off corruption for incorruption, as St. Paul puts it in 1 Corinthians 15. And as I began to see that reframing, everything about the cosmos, everything about Christianity as I thought I knew it changed. And that opened the door for me to say, is Athanasius, you know, the only person who's ever said this, or are there others? And that's where I discovered this entire floodgate of Christian church fathers who had spoken in the very same manner about the Christian faith. And that was the turning point. And that's where I had mentioned in just before the break, that there's a chiastic structure to the film. And always in a chiastic structure, there's a hinge point where the narrative turns. And my encounter with Athanasius in the film is that hinge point where everything begins to change for me.
You just alluded to this, but you were shocked, as it were, at the cohesiveness of thought among the ancients. When you go to the early church fathers, it wasn't just Athanasius. It was sort of almost a coordinated effort, if you will, to not be innovative, but rather perpetuate what had been handed down from Christ to the apostles and then to the early church fathers to the present.
Yes. Well, because, I mean, in terms of my study, I had focused on, well, really two places, Enlightenment philosophy and medieval Latin writers. That's where I had focused so much of my study. So I became an expert in Immanuel Kant, in Gottfried Leibniz, in a number of these Enlightenment writers. And when you look at the Enlightenment, of course, it's just tremendous controversy, back and forth, problem, solution, alternative proposal, back and forth. And also in the medieval scholastics, I had seen the same thing. So I was familiar with the philosophical background in Platonism and Aristotelianism and had focused on these scholastic writers. And again, seen fractured schools, disputes back and forth. And when I encountered Athanasius and began to read the other church fathers surrounding Athanasius, the Cappadocians, Maximus the Confessor, John of Damascus, these others, I was completely floored because I had never seen over so many hundreds of years such a cohesive line of thought. They truly were people who saw themselves not as innovators, not as philosophers or theologians whose job it is to come up with new insights, but as curators, protectors of something handed down from generation to generation. That was their job, to protect that. I'd never seen anything like it, and it blew me away.
Again, the film, Becoming Truly Human, it's absolutely stunning, and I'm going to have Nathan on the Hank Unplugged podcast next week, in fact, on Monday, and we'll be airing that soon thereafter. You don't want to miss Hank Unplugged. If you're not plugging into that podcast, you're missing out, because I'm having the opportunity to sit back, not in a didactic fashion, but more in a laid-back, conversational fashion. Got the opportunity to speak to some of the most interesting, informative people on the planet today, and certainly Dr. Nathan Jacobs fills that particular role. We'll be talking about some of our similarities. We have so many similarities in our background. Both of us, by the way, have become Orthodox, and when we did become Orthodox, both of us discovered something, and that is cancer within our body. Both of us have wives that have embraced Orthodoxy. Both of us have adopted children, and so there's a tremendous amount of commonality. We'll be talking about that on the Hank Unplugged podcast. For now, do remember the documentary Becoming Truly Human. Go to www.tugg.com/titles/becoming truly human and find out about this film. It's actually a film, and I can say this only about probably a handful of films. It's a film that I've watched now 3 times, and I plan on watching one more time in the near future, because it's absolutely spellbinding. And something that you'll want to have in your library as well. We'll talk about all of that and more on the Hank Unplugged podcast, and I'm sure I'll have Nathan on the show many more times in the near future. Nathan, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much, Hank. I appreciate it. Again, it's good to hear your voice.
Good to talk to you. And when we come back from the break, the quote of the day by Dr. Nathan Jacobs, I think you'll enjoy the quote of the day. And then we'll come back with your questions, and look forward to having a great segment as we consider the truths of the historic Christian faith, as we answer your questions, and as we seek to make a difference while there's yet time. Do remember, those who stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth are making a difference, not only for now, but they're making a difference for all eternity. Only one life soon will be passed. Only what is done for Christ will last. So please, you can't take it with you. You can send it ahead, and that's one of the ways you do it, by investing in the ministry of the Christian Research Institute. You can do that in a safe, secure fashion at equip.org. And I do thank all of those that are already standing shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. Back with the quote of the day in just a moment.
We live in what Oz Guinness calls an ABC moment, anything but Christianity, a moment in which Christianity is routinely ridiculed and Islam is referred to with reverential tones. Yet ABC can also serve to remind us that the solution for regaining Western civilization and defeating global Islamic jihadism is ultimately grounded in answers, biblical literacy, and countering cults. This is the task of the Christian Church, the pillar and ground of truth. Find out more in Hank Hanegraaff's new book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. To receive your copy as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. Hank Hanegraaff will be back right after this.
Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. The result has been rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. In the Apocalypse Code, find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Hank Hanegraaff argues that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or recent history. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to some very controversial questions, such as, what does it mean to take the book of Revelation literally? Who are the Antichrist and the Great Whore of Babylon? And what is the real meaning of 666? Order The Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff today. Available in softcover, MP3 CD, or MP3 download from equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI. The history of Islam is one of wanton carnage and horrific oppression, and it has been whitewashed beyond recognition by our politically correct elites. According to credible sources, 120 million Africans, 80 million Hindus, 60 million Christians, 10 million Buddhists have been slaughtered in the name of Islam. And that doesn't include the millions of Muslims killed by other Muslims. Islam is the only significant religious system in the history of the human race with a socio-political structure of laws that mandate violence against the infidel. Read Hank Hanegraaff's stunning book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. Receive your copy as our appreciation for your financial partnership when you call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. Are you the product of millions of years of unguided, purposeless, natural processes? Or are you created in the image of a loving God? Faced with the overwhelming scorn of evolutionary proselytizers, it can be hard to articulate the truth about God's creative work. And even among faithful Christians, many misconceptions linger. The Creation Answer Book by Hank Hanegraaff puts answers to the most hotly debated origins questions right at your fingertips, giving you clarity and understanding. Learn to articulate the truth about our origins clearly and compassionately when you request your copy of the Creation Answer Book, or listen to Hank's insightful answers with the unabridged audiobook version on CD. Receive your copy of the Creation Answer Book or the audiobook on CD from the Christian Research Institute when you call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Islam is the only significant religious system in the history of the human race with a socio-political structure of laws that mandate violence against the infidel. The current narrative is that to tell the truth in this regard is tantamount to radicalizing Muslims and exacerbating hostilities that may otherwise lie dormant. A common refrain has reverberated throughout the West: Islam is not our enemy. As well-intentioned as this mantra may be, the danger in this stance becomes clear once someone understands Islam in full. Read the new book by Hank Hanegraaff, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion. To receive your copy as our appreciation for your financial partnership, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches, 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. Well, let's return to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you, Randy. The quote of the day, and then right to the phone calls, 888-ASK-HANK, the number to dial. The quote of the day comes from Dr. Nathan Jacobs. He is, of course, the producer and director of the film Becoming Truly Human. He'll be talking about that on the Hank Unplugged podcast next week. And look forward to bringing that to you in the very near future. Quote of the day: the Christian hope, as Athanasius explains it, is that God has made a way for creatures to escape death. Or to use St. Paul's language, God has made it possible for us to put off corruption and to put on incorruption. The way God has made, according to Athanasius, is that the Son of God, who is himself incorruptible because he is divine, has united himself to humanity. And if we unite ourselves with him, we can partake of his incorruptible nature and escape corruption. The danger Athanasius sees in Arius's heresy is that Arius makes the Son a creature and therefore corruptible. Hence, if Arius is right, Christ's incarnation offers no help to those who seek to put off corruption for incorruption. For incorruption is found in God alone. Again, the quote of the day by Dr. Nathan Jacobs. We'll put up on the web shortly. Let's go to the phone lines. Talk to Frank in Richmond, California. Hi, Frank.
How you doing, Hank?
Doing well, thank you.
In this, Dr. Good to talk to you. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
My question is on tithes. With the whole Malachi 3:10 that's taught in church, that whole doctrine, as I study and I read, I don't see it in the New Testament, especially when I read Paul's writings. I don't see him putting an emphasis on it at all. So if you can elaborate on that, that would be great.
Sure. Yeah, I think that there's a universal principle that is given in the scriptures, and it actually comes from the pen of Moses, who tells us that we tithe so that we may learn to reverence the Lord our God always. And I would argue that reverencing the Lord our God always is a timeless principle. But I think there's truth in what you communicated in the prologue to your question, which is to say there's a progression that happens. Tithing is a discipline, but it ought to lead somewhere. And where it leads is to leaning upon the arm of God rather than leaning upon the puny arm of flesh. And with that come all kinds of unbelievable revelations of God's mercy and his power and his provision. In fact, if you look at tithing with respect to the Israelites, remember they at once pined for the pleasures and protection of pagan Egypt, much, much more than for God, the one who had miraculously parted the Red Sea. So here you have Israelites who are pining for pleasure after God has done the miraculous right in front of them. And when you think of the miraculous provision of God, it immediately lets you know that he can provide for you financially as well. And that truth permeated the life of David. And as a result, he ended up thanking God for the very privilege of being able to give to the work of the Lord. He famously said, "But who am I? Who are my people that we should be able to give generously? Everything comes from you. And we've given you only that which comes from your hand. And now I have seen with joy how willingly your people who are here are giving to you." And giving not just as a spiritual discipline, but giving as absolute delight. And I oftentimes want people listening to me to get a sense of what could be accomplished in our generation if we too would but gain the joy of contagious giving. If we did, our generation might yet leave an indelible mark on our world. And so I would say, Frank, that you sort of have the essence of this. The idea is that tithing is a principle. I think there's a timeless nature to the principle, but it ought to lead us somewhere, and where it leads us is to the joy of free will giving.
That was the gist of my question, because like I said, when I read... And I read when they were building the temple in Genesis and they would do the free offerings, the free will giving, they were overwhelmed with gifts and overwhelmed with with the free will giving. And I think if we do that today under the guise of the Holy Spirit moving us, instead of from the pulpit telling us that if we don't tithe, we're bringing a curse on ourselves, and that, I think it quenches the spirit and thus quenches the gifts in the church.
Yeah, it's a completely different way of looking at it, completely different perspective, and I really appreciate you underscoring that on the broadcast today.
Thank you, Hank, and bless you and your family, and thank you for taking my call.
You got it, and the 4th century is sort of instructive for us, because in the 4th century, the great church father Jerome echoed the words of Malachi. But I think that in the whole, what Frank is pointing out is that there's a morphing that takes place from a discipline to a delight. And if you put the emphasis on the delight, you'd probably get farther in terms of getting people to give to the work of the Lord. You know, sometimes when I ask people to support the ministry, it's a difficult thing to do. I always in the back of my mind think, boy, if people get the sense that giving is something that you can't outdo the Lord in, it would change everything. And we would be able to do what the Muslims do. And sad to say, you have these fantastically wealthy Saudi oil men who are giving hundreds of millions of dollars in order to perpetuate a false religion. They're building madrasas and mosques all over the world. They're exporting Wahhabism. And the question that always rises up in my mind is, are we willing to do for the truth what these Saudi oil men are willing to do for a lie? There are a lot of Christians with the Lord's resources that could invest in ministries like this and truly turn the world upside down, not by might nor by power, but by His Spirit. Let's go back to the phone lines. Talk to Monica, Seattle, Washington. Hi, Monica.
Hi, Hank. Can you hear me okay?
I sure can.
Okay. Well, I and my husband both were raised in Christian families, and we're going to church today and everything, but my issue is with my in-laws, and I'm hoping you can point me to some scripture or give me some advice, because even though they were raised Christian, and I'm talking about my husband's brothers and their spouses, they're very judgmental of the fact that my husband and I take the Bible literally. You know, there was a fruit, they did eat it, he did walk on water, he did literally rise from the grave, but they're more pick and choose about what scripture they like and believe is true, especially regarding, you know, sin. And so we've gotten into some debates. And I have kind of developed this feeling of not wanting to be around them because, we're always viewed as wrong and we're judged. And I know in my heart that God loves them just as much as He loves me, and I shouldn't judge them or be mad at them, and I should pray for them. But I'm really struggling with not wanting to be around them, and sometimes, you know, it'll cause an argument with my husband, and because this is, like, the most important thing in our lives, and they kind of make fun of it, but then at the same time, they kind of think that they're on the same level, and I guess God is the only one who knows our hearts, but it makes me frustrated because they, you know, in my opinion, do you know what I'm saying? They don't make... They think we're wrong because we teach our daughter that there's sin out there. Like, homosexuals are not horrible people, but yeah, that is kind of a product of sin. And they think that's terrible and they judge us. But then, you know, I'm struggling to hang out with them. And I know that that's not very Christian of me.
Yeah, first of all, you're bringing up something that is common to thousands and thousands and thousands, perhaps millions of Christians. So you're not alone. There is this intent on demythologizing the Bible, getting rid of the miraculous in the Bible, So now the resurrection becomes a nice transition from winter to spring. It's a metaphor. But once you do that, you lose the essence, the heart of the historic Christian faith. If Christ is not risen, said Paul, then we are among all men miserable. We are yet dead in our sins. And those that are dead are lost. So if in fact Christ is not risen from the dead, if the miraculous isn't true, eat, drink, and be merry. Tomorrow you die. So this effort to demythologize the Bible ought to be countered with gentleness and with respect. But remember, you can't force feed anyone, which is to say, the biggest issue for you is simply to become equipped. And then when God gives you the opportunities with family members or people outside your family, then you're ready to give an answer, and the Holy Spirit is the one to change the heart. You should not take upon yourself a burden that is not yours. It is not your prerogative to change your family members' hearts. Only God can do that. So just be equipped, and then watch the Holy Spirit do what the Holy Spirit does. He changes hearts. I think it's also important that when you speak about such things as homosexuality or other sins, that you speak about it in such a way that you let people know that if they recognize Christ as the one who knit them together from their mother's womb, who created the universe, and they become followers of Jesus Christ, their lives will begin to change automatically, because now they want to cohere their lives with the principles and precepts of the one that created them. I'm going to have to leave it at that, but thank you so much, Monica, for your call. Out of time for this week's broadcast. Next week, another week in the history of the Christian Research Institute Bible Lifespan broadcast. We've got so much coming up next week. Hope you'll join us on the broadcast, 888-ASK-HANK, and I hope you'll stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth by giving and by praying. You can do that in a safe, secure fashion, webequip.org. Out of here for this week.
We appreciate you tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. If you've been blessed by the broadcast and want more information to help you grow in the grace and knowledge of God, go to our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. To contact a resource consultant, call 888-7000-CRI. Again, that's 888-7000-274. Or you can write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. So rapid and pandemic has been the decline of biblical literacy and spiritual discernment that our once unimaginable post-truth culture is effectively becoming an anti-truth culture. While the sun is setting on the Western Church, Islam is now the fastest growing religion in the world. This means that it's not simply enough to be aware of this threat. Christians need to wake up, stand up, and speak up. This means being able to counter the outright lies about Islam that otherwise will go unchecked with horrendous consequences. And that's what Hank Hanegraaff's book, Muslim, What You Need to Know About the World's Fastest Growing Religion, will enable you to do. To receive your copy as our appreciation for your financial partnership, call 888-7000-CRI. Make a gift to support CRI's many outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit equip.org. Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. The result has been rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. In the Apocalypse Code, find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Hank Hanegraaff argues that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or recent history. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to some very controversial questions, such as, what does it mean to take the book of Revelation literally? Who are the Antichrist and the Great Whore of Babylon?
And what is the real meaning of 666? Order The Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff today. Available in softcover, MP3 CD, or MP3 download from equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI.